we get things underway this afternoon by kicking off a brand new segment for the fall season on the program that we're calling Black Bear Classics, a chance to talk about some of the biggest University of Maine football games of the last 25 years. Black Bear Classics brought to you by ClearPoint Capital, the official financial advisor of the Maine Black Bears. Call Mike Toole at 307-7718. My football broadcast partner, Bob Lucy, joins us. And Bob, well, we missed talking football this fall, and we had to find a way to do it.
Absolutely, Rich. I love that music. It reminds me of Vince Lombardi with a rolled-up program and a overcoat walking the sideline.
Absolutely. And so we went back, and we've spent some time going through some of the most memorable games that we've had a chance to broadcast over the last 25 years. It's a very subjective list, but we thought these are some pretty good games. And this week, we roll out the first one, which takes us back to 9 years ago yesterday when the Black Bears traveled down to Harrisonburg, Virginia to take on the top 10 James Madison University Dukes. And we could talk about it ourselves, but we thought it'd be even more fun to bring in some other experts. And so we also welcome in Colby football coach and former Black Bear head coach, Jack Cosgrove. Cos, good afternoon.
Hi, Rich, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here. Let's set the scene for this one. It was a fairly early in the season in 2011 that would turn out to be a playoff year for you, and then this game went a long way toward getting you there. This was an important road conference victory.
Yeah, it really was. And I did not know the dates matched up until yesterday. I got a, and I'm not a social media guru, but Warren Smith put it out on social media and sent it, directed it towards me. And I put two and two together here for why you were, bringing back this great football game. And obviously a season changer for us in the way we won the game and went down and competed against a very, very good football team. I came into work this morning. I think you guys know Trevor Costin is working for me here at Colby's, our defensive backfield coach. And he screenshotted me a shot of myself, and Chris Treister at the press conference. Trevor and I have been in there together. So it's all coming together now as it fits in on this weekend. And thanks for bringing it back to life.
Well, absolutely. And you mentioned Warren Smith. And, Bob, what a tremendous game. Talk about some of the numbers that Warren put up in that game.
Well, he was 28 of 40 for 295 yards. He had two touchdown passes. He also made some nice runs by climbing the pocket, and he was very confident. He had a great senior season. That 2011 season, he threw for 3,122 yards and 22 touchdowns and had a league-high 270 completions. He put up some big numbers against James Madison and also against Pitt. He threw for 334 yards and three touchdowns at Pitt that year.
And, Cos, I don't know if the Black Bears have ever had a transfer that put up the kind of numbers that Warren Smith did in his time at Maine.
Well, he finally had that. And Bob, you're right. He had a breakout season in 2011 because prior to that, it had really been a fistfight between him and Chris Treister as to who was going to be our quarterback. You know, there was an inconsistency in Warren's game, and Chris got some opportunities, and Warren got hurt and toward the end of 2010, and Chris finished out the season. But on that day in 2011, they both contributed to a fantastic victory.
No question about that. Well, let's recap how the game went. It was James Madison getting on the board first in this one with 6:41 left in the first quarter when Jordan Anderson ran 80 yards for a touchdown, and he gave you trouble all day long, Cos.
Yeah, he really did. And then Trevor said to me this morning, he says, you know, I felt slow when I couldn't catch him, but then I felt really slow when I saw Kendall James go ripping by me and he couldn't get him, you know?
Well, that put James Madison up 7-0 at the end of the first quarter. Midway through the second quarter, though, the Black Bears would tie the game up, and it was Warren Smith connecting with Maurice McDonald.
Maurice McDonald in motion to the left side. Three wideouts over there. Pump fake over the middle. Touchdown! Maurice McDonald for six as Warren Smith threaded the needle. Warren Smith is on fire right now. Just taking this JMU defense apart with precision.
Coach Kaza, Maurice McDonald, another guy who was a big contributor all that 2011 season for you.
Yeah, he was. He was our veteran receiver. We also had a couple, you know, DeMar Altman was a young, up-and-coming player for us and had a big season as well. But, you know, Mo was the guy who was really our veteran guy and a guy we called on in tough times.
Late second quarter, James Madison would regain the lead on a touchdown run by Daquan Scott to make it 14-7. And then the Black Bears tied it up not long before halftime on this run from Terrell Walker.
First and goal. Ball at the 4. Under a minute to go. Handoff. Terrell Walker is in the end zone for the Maine Black Bears. An outstanding call by Maine. And what a drive by the Bears.
Yeah, Kaza, what did you see on that situation from the four yard line?
Well, you know, it was an obvious third down obvious passing situation, and we spread them out, and just we were able to crease them with an inside zone run. It's one of those calls that's real risky. You know, we knew we could get a field goal out of the opportunity, but you know, it was a walk in. You know, because they were looking for us to throw the football.
You had to feel pretty good at halftime on the road against JMU, nationally ranked at the time, to be tied up at 14.
Yeah, we were just concerned about their ability to run the football. You know, they had hit us with a big one for 80, and it was really, I think the conversation was we've got to be more stout on the defensive side of the ball up front. We've got to do some things, you know, in regards to, you know, games up front, blitzes and run pressures to be able to slow down their running game. And then offensively, we felt like we were just starting to open up some things. We were playing, you know, it was the emergence. That was the game of the coming out for Justin Perillo because, you know, the week before, our tight end, Derek Buttles, had caught, I think it was a couple weeks earlier than that. Yeah, it was. It was two games earlier. We played Pitt, and Buttles had caught 2 touchdown passes and caught 11 balls that day, but we lost him for the season against Albany the next week. So this was... you know, a time where we started to put the tight end back. And you know, I can remember the quote from Mickey Matthews. We had no idea who the fat tight end was. He was really good.
Well, we'll hear a big play from Justin coming up a little bit later. And, Bob, we talk about that run game of James Madison. They were relentless on that afternoon.
Yeah, they really were. They had 304 yards on the ground, Rich, and two really good backs with different styles. But Jordan Anderson could run up the middle. He had breakaway speed. He had 212 yards rushing and a touchdown in that game. Daquan Scott with 70 yards rushing. It was really a game where they took it to the ground, and Maine had a real good passing attack. With the 295 yards passing, JMU only had 98 yards passing. Maine had 90 yards rushing. So when you look at the total offense, JMU, 402 yards, averaged 5.8 yards a play. Maine, 385 total yards of offense, and they averaged 5.5 yards per play. It was a very evenly matched game. You know, 21 first downs for Maine, 20 for JMU, minimal penalties. Both teams had 5 penalties. Possession time was pretty similar, and each team converted 7 third downs.
And, Kaz, it really became a defensive struggle in the second half.
Yeah, it really did. It, you know, in terms of the output in the second half, it was really 2 field goals, and both towards the end of the fourth quarter.
We're looking back at the game from 9 years ago yesterday on Black Bear Classics. Maine at James Madison University tied at 14. 2:06 left to go. Cameron Stark kicked a 32-yard field goal to give James Madison the lead, and into the 2-minute offense you went, Kaz.
Yeah, we really we had to do what we had to do, and it was. And Warren made a couple of big throws. I know, in particular, one to Perillo out of a scramble that really, I think, was close to a 30-yarder, as I recall, and that really got us down close. And Brian Harvey gave us the field goal.
You moved to 47 yards in 8 plays, got it down to the 17-yard line, and then indeed Brian Harvey came on, a chance to tie it with less than a minute to go.
It'll be 4th down and 4 from the 17. Brian Harvey from the right hash will try a 34-yarder. He is 2 of 3 on the year. Remember, the Dukes have blocked 41 kicks since the beginning of the 2002 season. Maine is going to have to block well. Brian Harvey with 49 seconds left, trying to tie it up. It is long enough, and it is good! Brian Harvey has tied it up for Maine with 44 seconds left. Great job by Harvey. Excellent blocking up front by Maine. There is no quit in this Maine team.
Wow. How about that, Cos? Let's go to overtime, huh?
You got it. My goodness. Your assistant there gives you goosebumps when he gets offside like that.
He does indeed. Well, in overtime, James Madison would score first to take the lead. Your Black Bears got the ball back, and you mentioned the coming out party for Justin Perillo. Here's what he did to bring you back within a point.
Cody Simcox checks into the game at tight end on the left side. Kushan in the backfield, first and goal, Maine. Kushan Brown. No, he fakes it. End zone. Wide open. It is Perillo. And he's got six. A tremendous fake by Warren Smith. And Perillo has the touchdown.
And who would have known, Cos, at that point, that Justin Perillo would end up going all the way to the National Football League?
You got it. That was his coming out day. Really was. And, and Justin was, that did so much for him in terms of his confidence because, he really... I'll be honest with you, he was an okay football player. We were recruiting him. He was an outstanding basketball player. We saw some things on the basketball court that we thought would transfer over, and he became an outstanding receiver, as you guys know, a big contributor to the greatness of that 2013 team that won the conference championship. He and Marcus Wasilewski had just a tremendous year together that year.
So you're down 24-23 in overtime. You bring in Chris Treister, and he had a number of options at his disposal, right?
Well, there's a longer story to this, I think. I don't know if you want that version of it, but, we had tortured Mickey Matthews and James Madison with our muddle huddle punt for years. We had decided during the week to try to torture him on a PAT with a potential fake, and we put the team out there. That was was designed for this, and we substituted Pushon Brown into the game. Now, Pushon was not a regular on our PAT field goal team, but we put him on this team, and immediately, the year before, he had run for a big first down on a third down at Maine on a punt situation. So he became a guy that they were well aware of, and we gave Chris some options. Number one, to kick it if he didn't like the look he got. Number two, to snap it over to Pushon if only a certain amount of guys were to that side of the muddle. And then number three was an option that he took to run or pass to his right side, depending on if there was a miss. It was an opening over there. We tried to keep it really simple, and let's just say it was one of those things that I thought of doing the second we went to overtime. And in fact, I asked Kevin Cahill, our special teams coordinator. Coach, I said, Coach, what do you think about muddling on our first score? And he said right back to me, Coach, are you out of your mind? And I walked away and I said, yeah, I think I might be. And I walked away, and then I thought to myself, wait a second, we're on the road. If we do it in a second OT, there might be more of a suspicion for them to watch for it because, as you know, we got to go to two-point conversion on the third overtime. So I turned and I said, no, we're going to do it. Let's do it. And we executed it really well. Chris obviously took the third option because as he looked at their defense, he saw the linebackers pointing over to Pushon. And again, it served its purpose. Pushon was well known to them for beating them the year before on a fake punt situation, a similar look. So Chris picked up on that. It was something we didn't know, but you look on film, you can see the linebackers actually pointing to Pushon, saying they're going there, they're going there. And Chris took the snap and just outran the guys to the end zone.
And Bob, you've gone back and watched it a number of times to break down where everybody was lined up.
Yeah, it was a very well-designed play, and I've looked at it a number of times, but Maine had six offensive linemen, the first of which was on the left hash, moving right to left. And then Perillo was the snapper, and he was turned sideways between the hashes. And Treister was in shotgun formation 10 yards behind Perillo. Pushon was in back of the offensive line. And then out wide in a twins formation outside the right hash, the widest receiver on the line of scrimmage was Troy Eastman, and then Brian Harvey, the kicker, was an inside receiver in that twins formation. Harvey went out into the flat, and Eastman went down about 6 yards and kind of curled back to the middle. And Treister got that ball and got as deep as the 12-yard line and then squared up his shoulders and dove from about the 3-yard line, got helicoptered, but had real good hand contact with the ball and came down on his back, and then it was just complete jubilation from everybody involved.
Now they're in a muddle huddle, Maine, lining up. They are going for two in the win. Treister rolling right. He's got running room. Treister, yes!
Into the end!
Yes! Chris Treister sacrifices his body, and the Maine Black Bears have knocked off the number 7 team in the country. Chris Treister went airborne at the two, flipped end over end and scored, and Maine has stunned James Madison. Chris Treister, the 6-foot, 200-pound senior out of Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Rolled to the right side, leaped from about the 4-yard line, got submarine, turned around. Unbelievable play by Maine. Gutsy play by Treister.
Our thanks to our friends at Black Bear Sports Properties, Learfield, and Blueberry Broadcasting for the use of those highlights. That, man, 9 years later, Cos, that's still exciting to hear.
That really is. That's the first time I've heard your call, man. You want to laugh? You want to really have a laugh right now?
Yes.
Okay, so my job when we called the play, I said to Kevin, we're going for it. Kevin's job was to get Treister and to get Pushon because they were, you know, Chris was an automatic holder, but to make the call, we're going to do it, and to get Pushon so that Pushon stayed on the field. So that was Kev's job. My job, and Bob described the 6 offensive linemen, was to get the 6th offensive lineman into the game. That was Will Martin. Will, that's the only play he's ever executed in the history of his career at Maine. He was on the field for it.
Wow.
And here's the best part of the story. When I told Will, he looked at me so excited, ran out to the hash, had to turn around and come back and get his helmet.
Now, Bob, you and I remember this after the game when we talked to Chris Treister and said you had some options. Chris looked at us and said, I was running the whole time.
Yeah, I tell you what, he had a few options, but I think he had his eyes set on that end zone, and he just completely gave up his body. It didn't matter. He was going to get in, and nothing was going to stop him. It was a tremendous play by Chris Treister.
And Cos, for you guys, that upped your record to 4-1, 2-0 in the conference, and there was no looking back after that.
Yeah, it really was a great shot at confidence. Obviously, to go on the road, and James Madison is, as you know, it's one of the premier programs in FCS football, has been for years. They had won the national championship, I think, in 04 or 05, and had been a top-of-the-league school since then. Since that time, they've won a couple other national championships, or been at least close in the championship game, I think, and you know, it's just one of the top roads, and it's a great place to go and play to win. I mean, that was the year I think they opened the new stadium, because I can remember being upstairs in their press box and just looking down at at the site and saying, "Oh my God, what a great place to win a football game!" You know,
coming from behind 4 times in that game to win it was something else. And Bob, for us, it was kind of cool as well, because our highlight got used a lot. I don't know if it made it onto ESPN, but we did end up on CBS as part of their Thanksgiving Day coverage. They ran that highlight with our call.
Yeah, that was very exciting. I mean, the whole game, and as I mentioned, 24,000 fans there for that game. JMU had lost to North Carolina in their opener, and then they had a 4-game winning streak going into that game with Maine. And so it was a big win by Maine. And, that whole season was spectacular. 9-4 overall, 6-2 in the CAA. And, you know, you go to App State, and you beat them 34-12 in the first round and really battled Georgia Southern in the next round, finally losing 35-23. And actually, James Madison made the playoffs that year, too. They beat Eastern Kentucky in the first round and then lost 26-14 at North Dakota State in the Fargo Dome.
Well, that was a great game, and what a wonderful way to kick off our Black Bear Classics. Cause next week you'll like the game we're talking about. We're going back to 2008 and a big win over UMass.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was a huge – that got us into the playoffs that year. Yep, that was a really big win, and Mike Rusko was the quarterback. He bailed us. That was the year that Farkas got hurt at Delaware the night we met Joe Biden. How about that?
That's right. That's right. I remember that well. Well, Kaz, it's great to have you on with us. Thanks so much. And I'm sure we'll be reaching out to you again as we do this every Friday afternoon through the rest of the football season. It's good to talk with you. Thanks for visiting with us today.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. It's just great to relieve these kind of memories. That those calls by you are, you know, I don't get to hear them. I'm in the game. So this is really nice for me. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Cosm. Bob, thank you. We'll do it again next week when we go back 12 years to a Maine win over UMass.
My pleasure. We were actually sitting in the bleachers calling that game at Massachusetts.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you, Bob. We'll see you next week.
Sounds good.
First of our Black Bear Classics on Downtown, brought to you by Clear Point Capital, the official financial advisor of the Maine Black Bears.